Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Executive Director for the Radiant Technologies Independence Bowl, Missy Setters, joining us. Missy, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
I know you're sleeping late. You got nothing going on. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes.
Is that Jeff Slusa here?
It is, Missy. It is so great to talk to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are so looking forward to the game tomorrow.
I can't wait. It's sunny skies today. It's going to be sunny tomorrow, and it's not blazing hot, so it's going to be perfect football weather.
And we talked with Richard Llewellyn a little bit earlier, and he said we may even need a jacket, so that's good news.
Yeah, it's December. That's the way it's supposed to be, right?
It's football weather. So tell us about how the week's gone, Missy. I wanted to go. Our Sunday school class had a table at the FCA breakfast on Saturday, but I had so much going on I couldn't make it. But great crowd.
It was. It was a wonderful event. It's always a great way to get bowl week started off, you know, keeping life in perspective and faith in perspective. And the testimonies from the players were fantastic. I love hearing them talk about living out their faith on their campus and within their football team. Yeah. Like I said, it just keeps life in perspective.
Now tell us about this week. Of course, game tomorrow night, but you still have activities going on.
Yeah, we have a lot. Tonight is our rally on the red. And it starts with the Mardi Gras parade. And I will tell you, I think we have 17 floats this year. And a number of other organizations involved. So that'll start at the boardwalk and run through the East Bank District. And then we have the Battle of the Bands in the East Bank Plaza. And then we have a huge fireworks show, courtesy of Pyromania and Curtis Elkins and his group. And then we have Parrish County Line coming up here for a concert. And that's at 8 o'clock. All of that is free and open to the public. It's a lot of family fun. It's a great night. And we're looking forward to it. The crowds have grown over the last few years, and it's a cool, fun event for the family. And we've got press conference today. The teams have already been to Barksdale, Holy Angels. The ARC came out to one of the practices to visit, and they've gone to Holiday Lanes and Chasing Aces and the Ladies Day Out. Hit Clean Slate Botanicals and Bellinona's and Cuban Liquor, and the kids had their kids' day out. It's been a full week. And so much fun.
That is so great. You know, actually, and I clicked on Ticketmaster, I guess, is the place where I'm trying to get another ticket. And so it looks like there's still a few that I can get online. Is that right?
Yes, there's still tickets available in every area of the stadium with the exception of the club. And I think the North End Zone Hospitality area are both sold out. Jeff,
great.
Call our office this morning. We can take care of you. Anybody can go online and get tickets, or you can call our office at 221-0712. Got to add that 318 now, too.
Is that the best way to get tickets today?
Yes, it is.
And is Ticketmaster the one that you guys... where you guys use for online purchases? Is that the right place?
That's our partner. If you go to our website, independencebowl.org, and click on buy tickets at the top, it'll take you to our Ticketmaster site, and then you can choose your seats in there.
Yeah, and it looks like there's still really reasonably priced tickets available, too.
There are. For a bowl game, yes, the prices are very, very good, and we've still got some group tickets available, too.
And I heard that you guys have some different food options that are out there this year, too, right?
We do. We've got Sonic, PJ's, Louisiana Smokehouse, Pizza Hut, and then we've got regular stadium food that ASM is providing. So I was watching some of the move-in, the load-in of the concessions, and there's a lot of stuff there.
And I had heard that you guys, that there's been some upgrades to the Wi-Fi out there as well. Is that right?
Yes, there is. I think AT&T and some of the other carriers made some upgrades about a year and a half ago. So cell service, I can't promise you're going to have it,
sure.
Because anytime you go to a stadium,
yeah,
you know, that's one of your issues. I know when I go to Tiger Stadium, I can text, but I can't do anything else.
Right.
But you should see some improvements in that over a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. Because I know there was a time in which it was hard to do anything just because of the number of people in the area. So that's great.
Right, and we always recommend download your tickets into your wallet. If you've got mobile tickets, download them into the wallet on your phone before you get to the stadium. So just in case you don't have cell service, you can't quite get that signal, those are in your wallet and you don't have to worry about it.
Well, Missy, I know you're busy this morning. Thank you so much. And we're excited. Looks like you got great weather and a great matchup. And we're looking forward to a great 2025 Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl.
Thank you all for the opportunity.
Talk to you soon. 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Aaron is out. I gotta. I don't remember if she's going to be back in Friday or no. We are going to be here on Friday.
Yay! We get to
take
skip a Thursday
off. Yeah.
And then come back on Friday.
Hey, I'm grateful for a day off.
Why not
you say that? Grateful for a day. Well, I'll find out. But Jeff Luce in for Aaron this morning.
Yeah, so glad to be here again.
New Year's Eve.
You know, if she's not showing up and you decide to call me, then I would
absolutely
love to be here Friday too.
All right.
Yeah.
So Independence Bowl today.
Yeah.
We just heard from Missy Setters. You're going.
I cannot wait. Really looking forward to it. Got the whole family going. So there's extended family. We're all going to be there. So
it was cool. It came in this morning when I was going by the stadium about 4:30. Completely lit up.
Oh, yeah.
All the lights.
The place looks so nice at night.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. I mean, even though it was morning for you this morning, but they really did a great job years ago when they did the remodel on it. So
very exciting. The Chanticleers 18-wheeler was lined up against the gate.
Yep.
So all their Chanticleers football on the side.
Yeah. I'm so impressed
so
that
cool.
You can say their mascot. Well done.
Oh,
you
know, yeah. Is that hard?
Well, I mean, I've heard more people than one just call it the Chandeliers.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed, and I...
Oh, don't want to disrespect our visitors
in town. We are thankful they are here. Yeah, so I'm excited about seeing them. They've had a great program for a lot of years, and so this is going to be great to get to see them up close. So.
I like that name better than Gamecocks.
That's horrible, isn't it?
Why?
I would change schools. I'd be like,
I'm not playing. I'm not playing here.
Right. I'm going to go to the Chickens. I am not going to.
I like Chanticleers.
Yeah, it is very, very impressive. I don't know about this, and I'm kind of curious, but, a lot of stadiums have switched to being cashless. And so I don't know if it's that way at the Independence Bowl or not.
I heard it. I don't know. I hope not, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I don't like it when a business says we don't accept cash.
Yes.
To me, I'm like, wait a minute. This is legal tender.
Yeah.
This is U.S. currency.
Says it on the bill.
You cannot refuse to take this.
That's right. Yeah. But you know,
they can.
Yeah.
Louisiana. There are some states that have a ban on cashless business.
Really? Well, Texas is not one of them. I know that at the A&M games that in Kyle Field, you can no longer use cash, which really disappointed me.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
On one hand, if you've ever seen somebody trying to count out money at a fast food place for you.
It's kind of a long shot on getting change, right?
It's not. You start backwards.
Yes.
If it's 364, you start back 75, and then go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean.
And usually the register tells you anyway.
Well, that's the thing. They had to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I had stopped into a fast food restaurant, I don't know, a few weeks back, and I watched as the person behind the counter was waiting on the person in front of me, and they totally lost it, couldn't figure it out, and had called a manager up. You know, and I'm standing behind him going, it's $6.81, you know, and the manager comes up and she counts it out. She gets it wrong. You know, it was.
That's sad.
It was pretty rough. But so maybe cashless should have been their way to go. So it was. But yeah,
now I can count back change.
Sure.
But if you show me your ID, I can't tell you if you're 18 or not. So unless it's the horizontal
yeah.
one.
If it's
the vertical one.
If it's from the 90s. Yeah. If the birth date is in the 90s, they're in the clear.
Okay. But that's as far.
Okay. Thank goodness I don't have to check IDs at the door.
Yeah. Thankfully not a part of your job here.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, everybody's
Come
in.
Come on in. Come on. Why is this guy ordering Kool-Aid? Just shut up. Let him in.
So are you a big cash guy? I mean, do you use cash a lot?
No.
Yeah, well, you know.
See, and that's the ironic thing about it.
Right. I want him to take it, but I don't have any.
I don't have any.
Yes.
I do want to do it more.
Yeah.
Because I don't like paying the fee.
Right. Yes.
A lot of places now charge
the 3% fee or whatever.
Fee, yeah.
Yeah. And so usually I've switched over to those places where I do. And because it's interesting, not only do they, you know, charge the fee, but then they also have added a tip line. And I'm like, I am at a drive-through, you know? So I have, that's kind of a.
That's a whole thing there, too.
Yeah.
Tipping.
Yeah. And I don't mind. I mean, or, you know, happy to offer a tip to the person that's coming to my table and waiting on me and all of those things. But when I have to stand in a line, it's just weird to, I'm going to tip you for taking my money is an odd thing. But
yeah, you didn't prepare the food. You're standing at the window.
Right. Yes.
Thank
you for taking my money.
I'm not tipping at a drive-through. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry. Not tipping at a drive-through.
It's an interesting thing. But, you know, I was listening this morning, and Gordon Deal comes on before you guys, mm-hmm. and they had a thing on there that said 83% of the people of the U.S., we use cash on a 30-day basis, at least once in 30 days, which really surprised me, honestly. I didn't know that the number was that high. I mean, but when I think about it, I do that.
I actually do have some cash in my wallet now. Mm,
yeah.
Right next to my Glock.
Oh. So.
Just an FYI.
Yes. All right. Protect your
okay,
cash.
Okay. Do you I just thought about what I was going to ask. Do you tip your hairstylist?
That was a bald joke. Thank you very much.
And I didn't mean that.
Yeah, right. Sure. Whatever.
So over.
For my dietitian. Thanks.
For last week. Yeah. the girl that fries your fish.
Right. Yeah. I want the low fat chicken fried steak, please.
With the low fat gravy.
Right. Thank you.
Over the Christmas, my daughter says, okay, we're all going to get pedicures on me.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, I've had maybe two in my life.
Right.
With her most of the time.
Sure, yeah.
I've never just gone in and gotten a pedicure.
But you'll do anything to spend time with your daughter. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So do you tip the little Asian girl that did your toes?
I would not have an answer for that. But... My daughters have not taken me for such activities.
Yours are like the scene in Dumb and Dumber when they've got the big grinder. Sparks are flying.
They pay me to put my shoes back on.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a reason they have that little tub and you soak your feet first.
Oh, right. It's actually an acid wash.
You know what my girl said?
What?
She was, you know, they rub your feet and they're, and she goes, ooh, very smooth feet.
Oh.
My wife started laughing. She goes, he never goes barefoot. Never. I step out of the shower into my slippers.
Oh, 100%. I don't know that there's ever been a time that I have not worn shoes outside. Yes. One of the stories my wife tells is that she was taking one of our staffers to get pedicures, and it was a staffer that she really was an athlete, you know, tomboy-ish, you know, I mean, she loved the outdoors, takes her for her first pedicure. And the sweet lady, and we quote it only because this is the way that the lady said it to her, she looked at this staffer's feet and said, you know, wear shoes. And so, and so that was the first reaction.
Right.
It was like, man, that's a rough indictment. So.
Flu season, hot and heavy right now. My wife still Still
not feeling well.
Yeah, no, still. We spoke with Dr. Joseph Bocchini, Willis-Knighton Infectious Disease, Pediatric Infectious Diseases, and hear what he's got to say, what you can do to help. Coming up after the news, bottom of the hour, Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Willis-Knighton Pediatric Infectious Disease Dr. Joseph Bocchini joined us yesterday talking about this flu outbreak. Hear what he's got to say right after the break. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Aaron out, Jeff Luce in for Aaron. And my wife has been sick all week last week. She's got the flu. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's those flu-like symptoms. Dr. Joseph Bocchini from Willis-Knighton Pediatric Infectious Disease on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Dr. Bocchini, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well so far. Thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us, but a lot of people aren't, are they?
No, they're not. It looks like we're gearing up for a pretty serious or significant influenza season this year. So far, the cases across the United States are increasing pretty dramatically, and Louisiana, unfortunately, has one of the highest influenza activities right now in the country as a state.
Yeah, that's crazy to see.
We were looking at a national map a moment ago, and Louisiana and New York are the only states in the country in red right now.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and the activity is higher now for this time of year than it was last year when we had a very severe influenza year. So the expectation is it could get a lot worse with a lot more spread of the virus. And, of course, now with Christmas holidays, people traveling around the country, families and friends getting together, the chance for more widespread activity of influenza is pretty high.
You know, and Dr. Bocchini, my name is Jeff Luce. If I remember correctly, didn't this pattern also kind of fit when COVID? It seemed like it was us in New York that were really experiencing the worst of it, or at least the earliest of it. And I don't really understand why we share that with New York.
Yeah, it could be somewhat circumstantial. With us, with COVID, it was because of Mardi Gras.
Sure.
That people got together in South Louisiana or around the state. Just at the wrong time when COVID was becoming more common. And then, of course, New York is a big travel center as well. And so it may have been coincidental, but yeah, I think similar activities with travel, international travel, large crowds together are certainly risk factors for transmission of these respiratory viruses.
Well, what are some of the things that people can do to help, prevent this?
So the most important thing is to get your influenza vaccine. We hope that many people have already gotten their vaccine.
Yes.
But if they haven't, there's still time to get it.
So it's not too late to get your flu shot.
Definitely not too late. Flu comes into a community and causes a pretty good outbreak, which lasts about 4 weeks or so. And then it kind of dies down, but then it comes back. And this happens throughout the influenza season, which can go some years until March, April, or May. So, yes, get your flu vaccine if you haven't gotten it. You will begin to develop strong immunity within about 2 weeks after you've gotten the vaccine. So, yes, that's number two. If you have risk factors, and a lot of the current recommendation is for all of us to get influenza vaccine each year for everybody 6 months of age and older. It's really important that you get a flu vaccine each year because the virus changes. And as the virus changes, the immunity and the protection you get from either a past infection or the vaccine is not as strong because the virus is not going to be eliminated or modified the course of the infection by previous antibody when the virus is different.
Well, my next question, the effectiveness, because you have to change the vaccine every year because of the variants. How would you grade this year's vaccine as far as effectiveness?
So we started in the beginning of flu season with what appeared to be a highly effective vaccine because the influenza virus that's causing the problem right now is called the H3N2 virus, and the vaccine was perfectly matched to this virus. Well, over the last couple of months, from late September, the virus mutated, and so it's a little different now.
Wow.
So we're not sure how much protection we're going to have from the vaccine. You will have some, for sure, and it's very important because even if the vaccine doesn't prevent infection, it's strong enough to modify an infection if you get it. So it makes the infection milder, and there are less consequences, such as more serious disease or hospitalization, when you've had the vaccine.
So it's still worth getting.
Very much so. That's number one vaccine. Number two, if you have flu-like symptoms, and that would be sudden onset of fever, muscle aches, mild sore throat, and the fever can be as high as 103 to 105. That would be different than what you expect from a common cold. So if you have those symptoms, my suggestion would be go see your doctor as soon as possible because step number two would be to get treated. We have a number of antiviral medications that work effectively to modify the course of the infection. So you could shorten the course of the infection, reduce its severity by being treated with an antiviral drug. So if you have symptoms that are suggestive of influenza, or you've been around somebody that you know had influenza and then you start getting sick, then see your doctor, get tested. If you're positive, then your physician can recommend a treatment for you to reduce the severity of the illness. The third thing you could do is to avoid large crowds. So especially if you are in one of the groups that are at higher risk for severe disease, if you are over 65, if you have diabetes, if you have heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease, if you're on immunosuppressive medications, number one, get the vaccine. Number two, avoid large crowds when there's lots of influenza in the community because that's how you're going to get exposed.
I hope it's not too late then. I need to get the vaccine, especially with my wife being homesick. So,
yeah, that's really important. The virus spreads quite effectively. And so, yes, people who are exposed, and actually, if you're exposed and you are at high risk, sometimes your doctor will even prescribe you an antiviral drug to hopefully prevent you from getting influenza if you've had a really close encounter with the virus.
So something like Tamiflu, is that the
kind of
the direction that... So just asking for a friend to remain nameless, if by chance you get multiple flu shots during a particular season, are there negative effects of that? Like, will I glow? I mean, or will my friend glow or anything?
I think he's going to be okay.
Okay, good. Great. That's good news.
It certainly won't hurt. If someone accidentally got two doses, it's not going to really hurt them.
Okay, or three.
What?
Okay.
I'm not saying it was the wisest move, but I just kind of forgot. And so they said, do you want one? I said, yeah. He said, yes. So
he did.
I appreciate that. Yes.
Dr. Bocchini, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you for asking me. That's really important for the public to be aware.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Happy New Year to you. We'll talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Aaron's got the week off. Jeff Luce in studio. Mike and McCarty. What did you say if you sync up a song? Phil Collins.
Yeah, it looks like I was looking at that just a second ago, that at 11:59 and 20 seconds on New Year's Eve, that the drum fill will just roll. It will welcome you as the clock ticks. Yeah. So.
Okay, and Ruben, put your headphones on, because that made me think of, have you ever... And I want to know if this is true, and if somebody's listening, and if you've done this, shoot us a message.
I already know what you're going to ask.
Okay, shoot us a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. What am I going to ask?
The Dark Side of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
It works.
It does work.
It works, yeah.
I knew Ruben would know.
I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
If you start the Dark Side of the Moon album, Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
After the third lion roar and the MGM logo on Wizard of Oz,
yes,
things sync up with the movie and the album.
Really?
It's Pink Floyd has said it's totally coincidental that they didn't do it on purpose, but I have a hard time believing that.
There
are certain things that line up
I've got to do it.
They have it on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Really? You can find it on YouTube, synced up. Yeah.
if it's already posted, then that would lead me to believe, well, maybe they edited that a little bit.
Well, I also did it with just a regular tape of The Wizard of Oz and the album.
A tape. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
A tape.
Your VHS.
Well, this was a long time ago. I was in high school. But yeah, I have done that. And it's weird. It's a little weird.
So
I've got to look that up.
And it wasn't just because I may or may not have been under the influence of something, but it totally works.
Well, do you run it with the audio of the film, or do you just let the soundtrack roll?
After you start the album on that third lion roar, the little one at the end, you hit mute and you start the album.
And how long does it go? Does it go the whole movie? Or
no, I don't think the album and the movie are the same length.
I
think the album ends like maybe 10 minutes before the movie does.
And it's not somebody editing to sync up some cool effect.
No,
I
have done this experiment myself.
Okay, I got to check that out.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I realize that you guys are way more into music than I am, so now I've got to go buy a Pink Floyd album.
if you have Apple Music or
I'm
whatever.
Just kidding. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And how does that work, Ruben?
What?
I have Apple One.
Okay,
so I get Apple Music. So if I want to go listen to the Doors' whole catalog, I can look it up and start.
Right.
Do the Doors, do they get royalty for me playing their stuff on Apple?
Whoever owns the rights to their music, they should. It won't be a whole lot. It won't be as if you bought a whole album. But yeah, they get a little something out of it.
I had a friend of mine who was in Petra.
Oh, wow.
The Christian rock band.
Sure.
He was the bassist for Petra. And you know, he was talking about how the whole music industry has changed.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
you don't make money anymore on airplay or...
I think we ended up owing Spotify money.
Thanks for playing our stuff.
Right.
You're right. Opossum, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
Check them.
Yeah.
And you can stream it.
Stream it. We're streaming everywhere. Look us up.
And don't bring the kids.
No.
Okay. Don't stream in front of the kids or the grandkids. Coming up, Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor, along with Commissioner of Agriculture Mike Strain, is right now in Pasadena. We spoke to them yesterday, and they were getting the float ready for the Rose Parade.
Yeah.
Hear what he has to say after the local news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron. 1017 FM, 710 Keel.
You understand. You understand how that works, yeah.
Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. I think, Lieutenant Governor, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm doing Keel.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Are we? Because we got some cross reference here going on. Are you there, sir?
You can hear me.
Yeah, there you are. Hey, good morning.
How you doing,
Tommy? I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. Because we've also got, let's see, we've got Mike Strain on with us.
Mike Strain's here with me.
Yeah,
and Kerry Stansberry.
Kerry Stansberry.
From Cajun Coast.
Good morning. Hello.
Visitors and Convention Bureau. Guys, thank you so much. You're in California right now. Are you in Pasadena?
We're standing in front of Louisiana Float as we speak.
That is amazing. So you guys got up really early to join us this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. We're trying to figure out how to get this shrimp boat there in the water, though, right? So we're looking.
Well,
how to get her launched.
Aaron is off today. My good friend Jeff Luce is my co-host this morning. So somebody tell us, first of all, tell us about this Louisiana Float that we have in the Rose Parade.
Well, the theme this year is teamwork. And in Louisiana, it takes an incredible team to build a pot of gumbo, from the crops that grow in, out the ground, to the crawfish, the seafood, all the spices, the chefs that put it in the pot. And then we got a big pelican that's going to be stirring the pot on the float.
Fantastic.
That sounds great.
Now, the parade obviously is New Year's Day, so you still got preparations on the float going on?
Absolutely. And so today they'll start decorating the float with all the flowers. Billy, how many flowers are we going to use?
I think it's north of 100,000 different kind of flowers.
100,000 different flowers. And we have, it's built with natural products, rice and flowers. We have all these beautiful certified Louisiana products. We've got red beans and rice. We've got Uncle Larry stew and a few. We have gumbo mix. We have grits. We got slap your mama, you know, and we have some magnificent. Now the rice is certified Louisiana rice. So now all this comes together. And again, that's what this is about. All this comes together in this great big gumbo. You've got to see this float. It is absolutely magnificent.
Now we're talking with Agricultural Commissioner Mike Strain. Mike, tell us, what is certified Louisiana?
Certified Louisiana is products that are produced, processed, and in Louisiana, because I certified them. We have more than 800 companies are certified in Louisiana. So you think about Camellia red beans, you think about Bonacaz, their white grits, slap your mama, Tabasco, Uncle Larry's stew and a few, Raging Cajun products, and of course all the different wonderful spices such as Patton the Pot and Brits Cooking and the Dubai Cajun Seafood. All of these wonderful products are certified. So I certify that they are, again, products Louisiana, produced in Louisiana. And I can tell you, whenever you go to the grocery store, you're looking for that certified Louisiana product. Fresh, local, certified, genuine. Certified Cajun, certified Creole, certified farm to table, certified craft beverages. All these wonderful products are certified Louisiana. It's a taste of our flavor. And again, and I guarantee they are absolutely incredible.
And I can see that certified Louisiana logo. Is that going to be displayed prominently on the float in those roses?
Well, what they do is they don't let us put any wording, like all the products. It does be a bottle that looks like Tabasco sauce, but it won't have Tabasco on it. And there'll be different things made out of flowers that look just like the products, but they won't have the product name on them.
But here in the barn, we have the products on display.
Absolutely.
That's right. On display. And, of course, we have right outside coffee and beignets.
And beignets from New Orleans.
I think I'd probably gain more weight on that float than I would a cruise. That sounds pretty nice.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, whenever Lieutenant Governor and I get together, yes, it's how you say, we do pass a good time.
Hey, Lieutenant Governor, I was taking a look at it because I was really trying to figure out the math on, the exposure that we get from this. And just doing some rough math, it looks to me like it's six times. We get six. It's six times cheaper than a Super Bowl ad to be on this, you know, to get the 20 to 30 seconds of viewership that we'll get from the 21 million people that are on the Rose Parade. Is that one of the things that motivates this to be such a good thing for us as a state?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, we partner with all of our partners like Cajun Coast from around the state to help put this on. And the return on investment is incredible. And it's at the beginning of the year when most people are thinking about where are we going to go on vacation? Well, what better time than in Louisiana front and stage people from around the world to see the great time we put on in Louisiana.
And we're talking, speaking of the Cajun Coast, I love the Cajun Coast Visitors and Convention Bureau. Carrie Stansberry joining us. Carrie, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for jumping on this early in the morning. Tell us about the area that you're representing.
So I represent Cajun Coast. It's St. Mary Parish. We are midway between New Orleans and Lafayette on the coast. And we are the southernmost gateway to the Atchafalaya National Swamp Basin. We're north of the Gulf of Mexico. We're completely surrounded by water. We have great fishing, great wildlife, great outdoor activities, and, of course, fresh Louisiana seafood.
And what makes the areas, your area unique at the Cajun Coast?
Well, because it's just so fresh. I mean, if you have fresh seafood, you don't need much ingredients or spices to make it good. It's just automatically delicious.
Is that are you kind of in the Avery Island area then? Is that what I understand?
No, I am. I guess east of Avery Island. We're between, I say, New Iberia and Houma.
Okay. So if we're headed down there, what are the things that we should do while we're there?
Well, you should absolutely do a swamp tour into the Atchafalaya Swamp Basin. If you're into fishing, you can go saltwater fishing, offshore fishing, or in-water fishing. We have some historic homes, some beautiful historic main streets that you can get a taste of Louisiana. And we're just a microcosm of Louisiana. We're just a little bit of everything. We're Cajun, we're English. Many different cultures live on the Cajun coast.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, also, tell us about agriculture and tourism. How does that work together?
Well, when we go places, we bring all our Louisiana food. Our chefs, this year, we promoted the Year of Food Louisiana. We cook all over the world, and we bring all the products that the Ag Commissioner certifies. And when people say, man, this gumbo, this etouffee is so good, we're able to share a little bit of Louisiana products with them. So it works hand in hand with tourism. And that's why we asked the Commission of Ag, Mike Strandon and his wife, to ride this year, because the products that he produces and his group work so hard on to produce out of Louisiana is really what makes the food in Louisiana so special.
And where can folks go to find out more information?
Well, you can go to explorelouisiana.com and explore all things, the products. The Ag Commissioner has a website as well, and to buy products. But explorelouisiana.com will tell you all about Louisiana, all the great places to see and do and things to eat.
Well, this is exciting.
You go to cajuncoast.com when you're on Explore Louisiana.
Tell me one more time, Carrie.
Go to cajuncoast.com when you go to Explore Louisiana.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Sounds like a lot of fun. I hate I'm not there. You guys are having too much fun.
Well, there's always next year, right?
Come see us in Louisiana.
All right, guys.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year. That's Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, Agriculture Commissioner Mike Strain, and Carrie Stansberry with Cajun Coast Visitors and Conventions Bureau. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Lucen for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty. Well, I see where 350 National Guard troops headed to New Orleans.
maybe good news. I mean...
Well, Governor Landry, unlike some of the other governors across the nation who are fighting...
Yeah.
When President Trump tries to help them with their massive crime, talking to you, Chicago...
I'm sure they're listening.
Governor Landry says it's going to help us foot a crack down on the violence here in the city of New Orleans and elsewhere around Louisiana.
Well, you know, and
he's
people
welcoming
them. Yeah, I mean, I guess the sad part is that we need it. But at the, you know, the good part is I'm telling you, like when we are, when we get off a cruise ship in Mexico and there's these guys with machine guns that are lined up that are armed guards, kind of National Guard kind of things. I feel comfortable.
Well,
I mean, I
it's
like
funny
that.
You say that. Yeah. We went to Cancun, I think,
yeah,
1 year.
Same thing. Yep.
I won a trip on a sales trip 1 year.
Yeah.
This is 30 years ago.
Yeah.
This is before all the cartels got really huge.
Right.
And that was one of the first things I noticed. We got to the resort, and there was armed militia.
Right.
Guards.
Yes.
In town, I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. But
right.
Then it's when your main business, New Orleans, is tourism.
Right.
You're letting them run your main source of income out of town.
I'm very grateful for those guys. I don't know anyone, you know, in the military of Mexico, but I'm grateful that they show up for this. I mean, thank you. I feel better.
So you're a big cruiser.
Yeah, we enjoy.
That sounded wrong. But
yeah, I also work at a church, so
I know.
It's, right.
You and your lovely bride.
Yes.
Go on cruises.
You know, and the thing is what really sold us was the cost of it. I mean, I remember years ago when, you know, the kids were little. And we took a 7-day cruise out of New Orleans, you know, and of course it includes everything. And our total cost for all five of us was $752.50. I mean, that was the walkout price for the total, you know. So it was just incredible to be able to do that as a young family and stuff. So
I remember right after or maybe during the election or right after the election in 2024, one of the cruise lines was offering a year-long cruise to get out of the country because Donald Trump was going to be president. And it actually, I mean, if you look at your living expenses, if you could leave your house for a year.
There are so many people who retire, and that's what they do. Instead of moving into, you know, assisted living, they move onto the ship. And, you know, and the truth is a lot of times it works out less expensive. They get to travel around. Every so often their kids will show up on a cruise.
Your bed's made every morning.
Your bed is made, and somebody is bringing you food if you want it. I mean, room service is free. And so they will bring the food to your room. And we've been on there with people who live on these boats.
Are you serious?
Yes, 100%. They live on the boat. And the cruise line will assign somebody to push their wheelchair, and they just, you know, they're living their best life and traveling the world. So it's
that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, but
wow.
You know, I'm telling you, if I were looking for a way to retire, hey, yeah, I'll cruise the Mediterranean for several years. You know, I mean, that would be a win. But yeah. And again, I mean, you know, or you've probably seen at least the cost of some of the assisted living, it can be astronomical.
Haven't checked it yet.
Well, yeah. I didn't mean for you personally.
Jeff Flus in for Aaron, Mike, and McCarty. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I haven't completely become that guy.
Good news.
Okay, but I am going to say it would not break my heart if they banned fireworks in the city limits.
Yeah.
I'm not calling for it.
Right.
I'm not saying don't go have fun.
Sure.
You... I'm not, like I say, I'm not going, yeah, we don't want to. No.
Right.
But it wouldn't break my heart if they banned fireworks in the city limits.
At least not the the non-professional ones. You know, I enjoy when they
right.
do. Yeah, but yeah, it gets a little crazy. So,
and when you live next to a large parking lot and people like to use that as their launch ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's so much debris left over.
Well, the thing is, there's two things for me. I'm, you know, 97% of statistics are made up on the spot. You know that. A lot of people don't observe the 10 p.m. curfew on them.
Right.
Or 11 p.m. or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're.
And when you get up at 4 in the morning. Kind of sucks
sure.
to hear the Civil War outside your window at 12:30 at night.
And your dog loves it.
And that was my number two
yeah.
point. My dog, both of my dogs, it drives them. They're scared to death.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's only so many times you can go, it's okay.
Right,
it's okay.
Right. It's not
they
okay.
don't believe you.
Right. Well, you know, and we were talking about it earlier, but the fireworks display or the stands that show up, and there was one, I saw a friend of mine on Facebook kind of ranting about the one that was taking up 98% of the parking lot at Walmart Shed Road. I mean, it was only 16 spots, but it feels like it at Christmas when you cannot find a spot, but there's a huge tent in the middle of it, you know, so.
Now, I love the fact that you knew exactly how many spots it took up.
That's it's sad is what it is.
Yeah. This yeah. is the... Ruben, this is the same guy who had stickers made up. You paid for and yes. had stickers that look professional.
Yes. Yeah, for...
That says we have, and then you have a blank. You can fill in the number of gas pumps, but only blank diesel pumps.
Yes, because I'm telling you...
I had a sticker
yes,
made up.
There, I mean, at again, Walmart Shed Road, there's 12 pumps, and four of those are diesel pumps. And when you can only get diesel... And there's all other pumps are open while four gas burners are taking up the spots. You know, you just have to sit and wait. And you're like, hey, really? Billy, yeah, I can't pull over there.
Right.
You know, this is so, yeah, it's.
I'm loving the places that now have the ethanol free gas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And quite a few do.
You got to look for it. You got to look for it. Yeah. Not as many as I would like.
Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised at the number of, you know, electrical outlets showing up at these gas stations, you know, even in Houghton at the truck stop, you know,
I mean, it's like with the pulling of face, yeah. even in Houghton.
Well, yeah, I don't know anyone in Houghton that owns an electric car, but you know, but they've got eight of those stations for
but
it.
They can juice them up.
That's right.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We're going to have to talk about this more next hour, but Aaron and I have talked a lot about EVs.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to the concept of electric vehicles.
Right.
I, you know, my daughter works for SpaceX.
Right.
And when all of that crap was going down... With Elon and bombing Tesla deal. I mean, people were lighting these vehicles on fire.
Absurd.
Absolutely absurd. Elon took the Cybertrucks and pulled them off the market.
Yeah.
Instead of losing all of this money.
Right.
And Micah said at Cape Canaveral, she goes, Cybertrucks are all over like golf carts. She says, I had to take some guys out to one of the launch sites that they were working on. And she says she got in one of the Cybertrucks. She goes, Dad, I don't know how to put this thing in reverse. There's no stick shift. It was hilarious.
That's fantastic.
She's sick of me going, get me a Cybertruck.
You're right. Yeah.
I do want a Cybertruck.
Yeah, drive one home.
I want matte black. But you brought up a great point. Again, we've talked about this a lot, Aaron and I. I'm not opposed to the concept, the idea of an EV.
Of course.
But they aren't practical.
Right.
If I want to go from here to New Orleans, that 5-hour trip now becomes 9 hours or 8 hours in an EV.
Sure.
And that, to me, is not worth it.
I don't want to sit and wait for the charge.
You said they're now coming up with a new concept that this is a great idea.
Yeah, it's in the it's the planning stage of this right now, but they're talking about standardizing the batteries across EVs so that you could literally just pull into a station, pull up onto a pad or whatever, it drops the old battery
in your car,
and then pops in the new one. And so, your refuel time would almost be instantaneous, which I think would, I mean.
Well, that makes sense. But see, but then I can't see Elon agreeing to this.
Well, but, you know, again, it's still, I think that it helps him build his business in the long run, because his business really isn't about the batteries. It's about the cars. And so if you can standardize this, then you can put more cars on the road, then he's going to win overall. But who knows? He may end up finding a way to be able to make some money off the batteries themselves. So,
well, if anybody could, he could.
Oh, I don't understand how that guy makes money everything.
You say that it isn't about the batteries. It's about the car. Is it, though? Because cell phone service, it's not about the phone.
Sure.
It's about the service.
Yeah. Right. But with Tesla, for instance, I mean, they have subscriptions all over those automobiles. I mean, as far as for the states that have the self-driving ability or the semi-self-driving, it's not completely autonomous yet, but there is a monthly charge to have that feature enacted on your car. It's like $100 or something like that.
Okay.
And so there are so many.
Still don't trust it.
There's so many revenue streams. Oh, well, I've told you before, but man, as soon as fully autonomous driving is available, I'm I'll sell whatever I need to go buy one of those. I mean, I want to get in the car and wake up in a different town. You know, I mean, I just want it to drive me.
Well, now there is something for that.
I'm telling you. I mean, for me, of course, I keep talking about college football, but I mean, I would love to be able to go to a game that ends at midnight. I've got to be at church on Sunday mornings. You know, don't have to be, but I want to be at church on Sunday mornings. And so if I can go to a game, it ends at 10 or 11 o'clock. I get in the car. I show up. I wake up.
You sleep 4 hours on the way home.
Right. Wake up in my driveway at 4 a.m. You know, I mean.
Or in the ER.
Yeah.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Earlier, we were talking about cashless businesses, and there are some states that have a ban on cashless business. Yeah. You can't refuse cash, and I mean, albeit a small segment of the population, I would think, but there are maybe somebody that doesn't have a bank account, that doesn't carry debit cards. Or credit cards.
And for some of the poorer segments of society, cashless options are not available to them. And it's really devastating in a lot of that because, for instance, I mean, you go through a credit check just to open a bank account. And whether you know it or not, I mean, they're a credit checks type of I don't know, situation. But, and so some people just don't qualify to get a bank account, which makes it really difficult. So then you're out buying these reloadable debit cards, which can be very expensive as well.
I just don't like the idea of somebody refusing U.S. currency.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the thing.
Not that I use it a lot.
Yeah, right.
Which is the ironic part.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I mean, you look at the bill and it says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
Right.
And, you know, and that's kind of, I guess, the issue that comes up is that a purchase is not a debt until you've made the purchase.
I'd be interested to hear from a business owner that is cashless.
Yeah.
To tell me what your reasoning is. Are the employees not capable? Do you not trust employees with cash? And I get that.
there is a lot less chance of fraud. There's a lot less chance of somebody skimming the register, for instance.
Can they not count change?
Yeah.
Or is it a safety issue? Are you protecting your employees from somebody coming in with a...
Yeah, you can't steal an electronic transaction by walking in and robbing the place.
Right.
You're going to have to hack.
Now, my next question. Does the elimination of the penny affect you at all?
Man, other than...
just the thought
yes,
of it?
Yes, right. Like, because I was thinking about that this morning. You know, is there a point in which they will eliminate the $1 bill?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Nickels. I think it costs 8 cents or...
To make a nickel.
To manufacture a nickel.
Yeah. So, right.
At what point is that now not cost effective?
Well, you know, even for local business owners, when you are reporting sales tax to the state basically eliminates everything. They'd round up or down to the nearest dollar on your sales tax remissions. And so it is... the change does not exist in sales tax remissions as far as our state goes.
So, and what about washaterias?
Oh, what are you going to put in there?
Now, you can go down to our vending machine here at the station and use your debit card or your phone and buy a bag of chips.
But is it really? But, I mean, the thing is in a
people
lot of, yeah.
that are using washaterias,
right?
Do you have a larger segment of that population that don't have debit cards and credit cards?
Right. Again, I mean, when you get to that, and I think it's more about choice. It's really the thing that I think we all want.
I just don't like it.
Right.
I don't like, this is a cashless business.
Yeah.
You're un-American. Jeff Lucid for Aaron. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Aaron Off, Jeff Luce in studio. Last hour we were talking about, gosh, it sounded like Tucker Carlson there for a second. the elimination of the penny,
yeah.
Carrying cash, businesses not accepting cash, which I don't agree with. But now I also don't agree with one of the messages we got on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Where did it go? Oh, when I lost it. Doggone it. But one of them said, if it costs 8 cents to make a nickel, it's stupid to make nickels. Because I said, I think it costs about 8 cents to make a nickel.
Right.
I was wrong. It costs almost 14 cents
to make a nickel.
13.8 cents to make a nickel.
Yeah.
It costs 3.7 cents to make a penny.
That's crazy, isn't it?
You start making money with the dime.
Yeah. What's a dime?
5.8 cents.
Okay.
To make a dime. So we're making 4.2.
Did
I do that math? Look at me counting
public
that
math. Awesome. Yes. You nailed it.
Northwood math, baby.
Hey,
Northwood's good. A quarter, it costs 14.7 cents and 34 cents to make a half dollar.
Who has a half dollar? I don't know that I've seen a half dollar.
I love coins.
Yeah.
If I get a half dollar, it's like $2 bills. Do they still make $2 bills?
I know you can still get them. I don't know if they are making them or not.
Okay, look that up while I'm doing.
Okay.
See if they're still making. Because it's a lot less to manufacture paper currency, to mint paper currency, 4.1 cents to make a $1 or $2 bill. $1 or $2 bill.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, that's right.
A $5 bill is 7 cents. Why would it cost more to make a $5 bill than a $1 bill?
I have no words.
That doesn't make any sense
to me.
Maybe
it's the encoding.
No pun intended.
I mean, is there like a strip in the $5 bill? I don't even know, honestly.
But $10 bill, it costs 6.8 cents, so it's less than a $5 bill. 7.3 cents to make a 20, 5.6 to make a 50.
Huh.
and almost a dime to make a 100. Why are mobiles more expensive than other ones?
Right.
Same. Just you're just putting a different number on it.
So check this out. Yes. So apparently they do still make $2 bills, but they only make them when banks request them. So they're on demand. It's like buying something, a book on Amazon. You know, it's like so.
And if I come across a $2 bill for some reason, I save it.
You do, right. Look.
Yeah, I got $2 bills.
I have five of them on my desk for no apparent reason.
It's like, but this is not more, worth more than $2. What are you doing?
Right. Yeah, well, and I think the big problem with the $2 bill was there was no place to put them in the register. And so I think that's the reason why they really never took off.
Really? Yeah, there's no little slot for a $2 bill.
You can't add another slot to the register.
That's
so
funny.
Yeah, isn't that a, yeah, so that kind of killed the $2 bill. But I liked them.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to find that message because, okay, here let me quote this because I don't agree with you, Murica. Okay, guys, you're coming really close to making the same argument that Democrats use for not having ID to vote. Yes, there may be times that an 80-year-old person has nothing other than cash on them. Then they can go somewhere else. Those are few and far between. I don't carry cash. If someone needs cash, I can't use it. I can't buy it.
Okay. I mean,
advocating for the business owner. Again,
sure.
I get it. I get it. If you start going, okay, it's employee safety.
Yeah.
I own a fast food restaurant or a C store.
Right.
I don't want somebody coming in.
Yeah.
Holding my employees up.
Yeah, and I think more than anything, I do want the choice. I'm not really saying that I'm going to use cash, but at the same time, I would like the option. And so that's really it for me. But that's a stretch on voter IDs. But okay. I mean, I can kind of see where he's coming from.
I can't. No, I mean, I really can't. Yeah. I don't understand that analogy. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
To say, no, you have to have an ID to vote.
Right. Yeah.
I don't understand that logic at all.
Right. Yeah. And I think that, I guess what he's saying is that there could be some barriers to entry as far as getting an ID. But again, I still want my cash, even though I'm not going to use it. You know, I mean, in reality, for most consumers now, not for the businesses, but for most consumers, it's cheaper to use a card than it is to use cash because of the fact that almost every card, including debit cards, which really surprised me, gives you some sort of cash back for using it. And so I can walk in and
I'm carrying the wrong cards.
Well, I mean, but if you get any sort of reward off of your card, most of those are about 0.5% is what you're getting. But American Express is like 1%. And so if I go in and I spend $100 at Home Depot for this, I'm going to get $1 back in some sort of reward. But if I go in and use cash, then I've just spent my $100. So it literally turns out to be cheaper to be able to use your card for the consumer. It's, you know, as far as the retailer, then they're losing money every time. I mean,
they're not losing money.
Well, yeah, and that's true. That's true. I mean, I guess, you know, so I got in on the internet world very early.
Losing money, so they're not going to take cash. Now we're not taking cards.
Yeah, right, yes.
What do you want me to do? Yes. I'll go wash dishes?
That's a great point. I mean, we were spending boatloads of money every month on, you know, just credit card fees. I mean, back when we first got into the internet business, you know, we were doing online sales, and I'm telling you, we were in early.
Now, clarify that. Your family owned a business.
We owned a business, and then we started.
Downtown.
Yep. And so when really, before Amazon was really popular, we started selling drafting supplies online. And we went from, literally, we were selling, you know, $200 a day kind of thing where with people walking in, to the point where we were selling, you know, $6,000 to $8,000 a day in, you know, online sales for periods of time, sometimes a lot higher and lower. So it was a significant change in revenue. But, you know, at that point, man, we were spending thousands of dollars on credit card fees. And so with the margins being so tight online, because you have such a wide base of purchasers or, you know, of competitors, you end up with these tight margins, and so you're losing 3 to 4%. And some of the credit card fees are just all over the map. You don't know what you're actually going to get deducted from a particular card, and so it's a pretty hard thing to navigate for the retailer, truthfully.
Especially a small business.
Oh,
a small business. Not only that, but we mutual dear friends that had clothing retail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they started selling online.
Right.
But the problem was they couldn't get jeans. They couldn't buy their jeans at the same price that
the big retailers.
Amazon
Correct.
Or Walmart could buy their jeans.
Yes.
Because they would buy 7 billion pair at one time.
And the whole thing with Amazon.
So you can't compete even online because you can't get it as cheap as they can.
And here's the crazy part. With Amazon, for instance, there got to be a point where really you had to be on Amazon as a retailer to be able to move your product. Because just being a Google search, people weren't going to do. They wanted to buy from Amazon. So as a retailer, you put your stuff on Amazon, and which they will allow, but then they take a huge percentage of your sale. Mm-hmm. But not only that, they're tracking the metrics so they know how much you're selling. And as soon as you start selling a certain amount, they start bypassing you buying your product. And so then they're selling it and they're putting their listing first. And so basically all you were doing is that you were allowing them to take a percentage of their sales, of your sales, so that you could, so that they could find out if it's a good product or not. I mean, I knew as soon as we went on Amazon that our days of being in retail sales for that were limited.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I had no choice. It was either that or sell nothing. So
that's why, you know what? I love going into these small towns and seeing downtown businesses.
Yeah.
Local businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love it.
Go over to Marshall sometimes. It is phenomenal in their downtown.
Go to Kilgore.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
it's
great
awesome.
Downtowns. Yeah. Jefferson, same way. Yeah. We love going to those places.
Jeff Luce in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KU.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KU.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron McCarty, Mike and McCarty. Some of these messages we're talking about cash. John says several small businesses offer a 3% discount for using cash.
Right.
Now, is it a 3% discount?
Correct.
Or are you not being charged the additional 3% for using a card?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, six one way, half a dozen the other. I mean, it really, but I get that, though. I mean, it really, you know,
But it's really not a discount.
It's not.
It's not a 3%. You're not taking 3% off the price if I use cash.
Well,
are you?
Yeah. I mean, so let's say that they have it published up, you know, on their.
So if something's $10.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you're going to, you know, you're going to get a 3% discount off of that $10.
Which makes it how
30
much?
Cents, yeah. So you'd get 30 cents off, yeah. So you would end up paying $9.70 instead of $10.
Okay, so then it is a discount.
So it really is.
It's a discount.
Yeah. But
so you're really getting like a 6% discount.
Well, yeah, if they are also adding 3% to it afterwards. But so more than likely, they just charge you the $10 is what you'd charge on your card. So it's kind of one of those things. Remember the old Johnson's Furniture thing, you know, mark it up, you know, just to mark it down and call it a sale, which is really kind of what's happening. We're going to charge you $10, but.
Beach says schools won't let you go to a game with cash.
Oh, wow.
Old people don't like using unsecured phones for conductivities or don't know how to use it. And then she says, my husband is clueless. Calling her husband old and clueless.
Man, I'll use my.
Is that my wife? Wait.
Signed, Dina. No, I use my phone for any transaction I can. I mean, it is so much easier.
I love tap to pay and all of those things.
But again, I'm the same guy. I'm telling you, I owned three DVDs before I owned a DVD player because I just I love technology. I bought a mini satellite dish when they first came. I'm the guy that buys all this stuff at the stupid high prices.
Are you
I
a gadget guy?
Oh, I love all of that
See,
stuff.
Me too. Me too.
I love technology. I really do.
But then again, I love, like, the old school of a lot of things.
Sure, yeah. No,
Smoking a pipe.
Okay, no.
It's more therapeutic than anything. Sitting out on the front porch with a nice aromatic tobacco, you pack the pipe. I shave with a straight razor.
Yeah.
Fountain pens. I mean, it's old school on a lot of stuff. But I love gadgets too.
Right. I mean, and the thing is that just having a wide knowledge of everything is good. I mean, knowing
I wouldn't
what,
go that far.
All right. That's
wouldn't
fair.
Wouldn't go that far. Jeff looks in for air and Mike and McCarty. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron McCarty. How did we get on this? You want to talk about that?
Can I say that? Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, you own a Model T.
A Model T, yeah.
A 1927 Model T.
Yeah, four-door Model
Dude,
T.
Dude, I am so jealous.
It's really cool. Well, we were talking about the fact that we like to have a wide knowledge of things that are old as well as things that are new.
That's right.
And so,
old school on a lot of things.
Yeah, and so my dad had... He bought this Model T back in the 70s and then had it restored, and it took him it was in Houston for like 3 years being restored. And really the only thing in it that's not back to original specs is the glass, is the front windshield, because they had to put in safety glass. But
is it licensed? I mean, is it legal?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
It's got the antique plate on it, so it doesn't require the normal inspection sticker. But yeah, so, and it's a lifetime plate. But it's a beautiful car that Dad was really into. And it's really interesting because one of the things about the Model T is that the front seat is really, it's really a couch is what it is. It's a bench seat.
Right, the old bench seat.
Yes. Right, and there is no seat belt. So, but
well,
also,
it only goes, 30 miles an hour?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, the steering wheel is giant. I mean, it is so big. It's like you're driving a school bus. And so, but the thing.
And neither one are adjustable.
Neither are adjustable.
You can't slide the seat back.
And so. For a guy that, you know, may enjoy a chicken fried steak here and there, you're not going to just slide in. I mean, like, I cannot get in from the driver's side of the car because neither of those two things. So I have to go to the passenger side,
slide across.
Yeah. So I can't. I would never take it for a drive with one of my portly friends because I can't get out. If in an emergency, I've got to get past him to be able to get out of the car. So, yeah, it's a great car. I mean, it was one of the first ones with an electric start, but it does still have the crank because people didn't trust the electric start to be able to make it work. So
now the coolest car that I owned was a 1967 Cougar.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the first production year of the Mercury Cougar.
Yeah.
And it had the sequential turn signal.
Yes.
Tail lights.
Yes. Those were so cool. Right.
And it had the headlights, the retractable headlights that went down and came up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was...
That's one that I wish I still had.
Yeah, pretty technologically advanced at that point, too.
But I didn't have an 1827 Model T, for crying out loud.
My very first car was a 1965 Chrysler, and it was... It was old at the time, but, you know, I bought it for $300 from a lady on Monrovia Street who only drove it to get groceries. And so, you know, but the thing is my parents, it did get convince my parents to buy me a new car a year later because this one was so incredibly ugly. But when it came down to it, I had about $500 to spend on a car, and I tried for this Camaro, and it was sold by the time I got there. And then I showed up for the Chrysler and was able to buy it, which mom and dad were thankful for, because the third vehicle that I could afford that I found in the Shreveport Times was a dump truck. And so they were thrilled that the Chrysler was available at the time. So
it's like the stair cars on Arrested Development.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to get some hop-ons.
Yeah.
1017 FM, 710 Keo.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Earlier this morning, Jeff Luce in, by the way, for the vacationing Aaron McCarty. We'll be here tomorrow. Then I think we've got Thursday off.
Nice.
Yeah.
It is New Year's Day.
And then we come back on Friday. Ruben and I know we'll be. I think Aaron will be back on Friday.
Okay, good.
She'll be back in on Friday. She was laying out by the pool.
Good for her.
Yeah. Eating bonbons. So, getting her,
but not on another cruise.
Her Bentley. No, she's not on a cruise.
Yeah, no, she takes them as often as we do.
She does. I think she likes them.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, you got to get on a boat.
I actually.
You're thinking about it.
I'm not like diametrically opposed like I was at one point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think with the right precautions.
Sure.
Although. Your last cruise.
Yeah,
you were cursing me.
I know, yeah. The only time I've ever gotten sick on one. Yeah. I really think it was food poisoning from we went to a resort.
That doesn't sell it for me.
Well, no, it wasn't from the cruise's food. We went to a resort in Mexico that we go to quite often. And so the thing
is. You drank a lot of tepid water out of the tap?
Well, actually, no. But I did, foolishly, I ordered. So it was one of these where everything was all inclusive. And so I ended up with some chicken tenders. And I'm fairly certain that was probably not a wise move. So
my son lived in Hawaii for years. And when we would go visit, he was on Oahu.
Yeah.
And he lived up on the North Shore.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful up there.
Absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And we prefer that to Waikiki or any of the big touristy area. Now, the thing I did like about Honolulu, I loved going to Pearl Harbor.
Sure, yeah.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
I could go every time. Mm-hmm.
Last time we were there, there was a veteran who survived Pearl Harbor who was there. And so we got a chance to talk to him. That was really cool.
And you take that shuttle over to Ford Island, is it?
Yeah.
And where the hangars are.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Which still has bullet holes in the hangars.
Yes.
Oh, incredible. That history is awesome. But when you go up to the North Shore and there's like chickens just running around.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. there's right. chickens all over the place.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Because I can eat some chicken.
Makes me hungry. Yeah.
And my son, who's a sous chef, mm-hmm. and that's what he did there on the North Shore at one of the restaurants and then resort. Anyway, he says, no, you don't want to eat these chickens.
Really?
You can't just go grab those chickens.
And fry them up.
And fry them up. He said they're full of
disease?
Parasites and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's disgusting.
Duh.
Yeah, hopefully that's not where they came from.
I hope you're enjoying your eggs now. Sorry about that visual.
Welcome to breakfast. Yeah, there's a place that we went to on kind of near North Shore that's called Haleiwa. That place is incredible. And it's a neat little town, kind of like what we were talking about as far as...
That's where he lived. He lived in Haleiwa. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's...
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah, such a great place. Yeah, it's beautiful too. But it kind of has that small town feel where there's a lot of the little local stores and things like that line the road.
Yeah, the only problem is that road is the only road.
Yeah,
there's no town. It's just
that's a good
one.
Point. Right.
One road goes through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're done. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So
Jeff Lew's in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You brought up an interesting point yesterday. I don't remember if it was on the air or we were talking about memorabilia and collectibles.
Oh, yeah.
And how certain things that are valuable.
Yes.
At one point.
And then they
lose value.
They do, yeah. You know, one of the things that I saw that was really interesting, and I think it was, you know, on one of the reality shows, but they were talking about Laurel and Hardy. And the fact that apparently those guys didn't like each other very much off screen.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
And so you seldom find anything where they both have signed on a particular item because they would refuse to sign something that the other had signed on, which is crazy. But you know, so obviously it's a very rare item, but the value of it just continues to decrease. And so, you know, for instance, you know, you've got a few things that will have longevity, but if, you know, there was a point where having a Sammy Sosa signed jersey would be a huge thing, but there's so few people, you know, as time has passed that Sammy Sosa is no longer. So this Laurel and Hardy, you know, memorabilia.
But isn't in the sports world, wouldn't that be?
Some of that has staying power, but not all of it. You know, so yes, a Babe Ruth baseball is still going to sell for $50,000 or whatever. But, you know, but as far as movies and things like that, there's just, it doesn't have the staying power. And so they end up just dropping off the map where you could buy any of those things very inexpensively. So sports is a different story. And some movie franchises, you know, have some lasting power to them. But let's face it. I mean, most of the kids today could care less if you have a Gone with the Wind signed poster. I don't know who any of these guys are, you know? And so it just, you know, there's a smaller and smaller market as older people die, then nobody wants to buy the stuff anymore. Isn't that crazy?
No, that's nuts. Because I would think like Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. And
memorabilia.
Yeah. And some of it will, again, that, you know, that really has lasted over time. But, I mean, you know, a Bruce Willis poster from Moonlighting, you know? I mean,
well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like there was a time that would have been very popular and have value. But at this point, nobody knows what Moonlighting is anymore.
So. Right.
Yeah, so it is interesting just the things that we find collectible. I mean, truthfully, right now, the thing you need to be collecting is silver and gold because it is crazy value. But, you know.
Now's not the time to buy, though, is it?
Well,
because it's so high.
I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, there's this thing that apparently China is really buying up a lot of the world's silver supply. And so it's, you know.
With land and land near military bases.
Yeah, but, you know, so silver's, I think, it seems like in May it was at like $37, or July, I think it was at $37, and yesterday it was at like $70. Day before yesterday it was like $81. I mean, it's crazy, but you know, sports memorabilia is kind of the thing that I like. I collect old football programs, and, you know, which, again, more than likely will have no value for
you. You don't
anybody.
Do it for an investment purpose.
No,
I just enjoy it.
I love it. Yeah.
Well, there is. Yeah. And see, that's different.
And that's where the value is.
It's like playing blackjack at a casino. Don't go to make your fortune.
Right. Yeah.
But if you enjoy
the card game
playing and you enjoy trying to figure it out, okay.
Yeah.
Take 50 bucks and go down there and sit for it.
If you're Rain Man and can count cards, then, you know, is it really gambling at that point? I don't know.
And why is that illegal, by the way?
Yeah, well, and the thing is I don't think that it's illegal as much as it's just a, I mean, I think it is
because
in Las Vegas. Yeah.
You're using your intellect.
But they can remove you because of it. Yeah, so.
And how can they prove that?
Well, it's pretty easy. I mean, really smart guys can count really fast, so. Yeah, so it's pretty easy for them to identify when somebody is just winning hand after hand after hand because they also know when these guys are placing their bets.
That's why they never remove me, right?
Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, bring your money. Yeah. Jeff Lew, thank you so much, and we'll see you in the morning.
Yeah, thanks
Mike
for
McCarty,
here.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.